You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, it's spooky season. Let's talk about scary and not so scary stuff because it's October and that's what we do on Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Apathetic Enthusiasm. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show about you, for you. We want to hear your thoughts. Make
By
sure you
get a microphone.
By
start
you.
Recording it.
Preferably in a crowded bus station. Because we're pivoting towards bus station podcasting.
Yeah.
It's true crime, it's been around, family thing, storytelling, lots of different ideas for podcasting, but yet broached is the fabled bus station podcast.
It's gonna be the newest thing.
The 4:15 to Wichita will be leaving from gate 7.
How much is a ticket to Atlanta? Because my nephew's supposed to pick me up, and I just need to give him just a fair warning about the bus.
About how much the ticket costs? I don't know that he really needs to know. He just needs to know when you're gonna get there.
Look, okay. Yeah, I have nothing. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the bus station podcast. I'm Brandon.
Oh, I'm Travis.
That's great.
That's us.
we have a great show for you today. We got to start by saying that we have a great show for you today. We've got Andre Agassi.
Andre 3000 is here?
Yeah, Andre Agassi.
Is that it? Oh, Andre Agassi.
Yeah.
Yeah, is he going to throw a tennis racket at us?
Yeah, I think we're mixing up all of the references. Anyways, hey, if you want to follow us, make sure you do that on Twitter at Apathusiast. You can send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Instagram
@apathetic_enthusiasm. Don't miss the Insta.
Oh no, I did. Yeah, you're right. You're damn right about that. You can
people are gonna follow big time.
You can,
over on the IGs.
If you're on your,
we need to post that picture of us on Instagram.
Oh shit! Yeah, I do. Yeah, you're right. We'll talk about that in a minute. If you're watching this live on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. You can also go to our links somewhere if you're on a computer down below. If you're watching this on YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm.
Apathetic Enthusiasm, yeah.
You can also, there's links, I'm sure, somewhere in there where you can get to all of our shows.
Yeah. Like, subscribe, do all those fun things. Thank you for consuming this content for at least 3 minutes.
at least 3 minutes. We do have a good show. Matt Sizemore, Have a Good Day Face, is out there in the chat giving us plenty of content to talk about. We do have some things we have pre-prepped to talk about first, though. But before I get into that, Travis, welcome back to Oklahoma City. How was your trip?
My trip was good. I did a quick little jaunt out to Southern California. I have apparently been out of high school for 20 years now, which means that it was time to go and reminisce with people that I haven't talked to in 20 years since graduating high school. But yeah, it was a fun trip. We made it out to Disneyland for a day, got to see some family, some friends. So while I would not say it was a relaxing vacation, it was really great getting to see a whole bunch of people, including my co-host and his plus one. We got to hang out with you in Anaheim
Scratch
Kitchen.
Scratch Box or something like that.
Yeah, it was Scratch Box 360 is where we had breakfast, a little bit of brunch.
Yes.
Catching up, which was fun because, like, normally I sit here in a chair and you sit directly across from me on a computer monitor.
Yeah.
And then we talk for about an hour. But this time I sat in a chair and you sat directly across from me eating eggs. And it was a much different experience, much more lifelike.
Yeah, normally I eat the eggs before I get on camera, but this time I'm like, well, it's unavoidable at this point in time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm right there with you. You know what? Here, there's something interesting about this. You and I, we talk basically at least once a week normally. Sure. And we're face to face, and it's fine. We're nice and comfortable. We're relaxed. But yet, when we are physically sitting across from each other, there is about a five minute or so warming up period to being like, oh, we're actually in the same room.
Oh, I don't have a mute button. I don't have to monitor chat during this conversation.
It's like my body isn't adjusted to having to wait for a response from you, because like an internet delayed response where how are things with you? And then like wait half a second.
Things are good.
So there is always that. It's probably just my social crap, but there's like a half a moment where I'm just not completely comfortable, but then we get into it. Plus the restaurant is loud, and you would say something to me and I'd be like and then sip some coffee.
what did he say?
I have to wait for it to replay on Twitch so I can catch it.
Also, we had our wives there with us, which changes the social dynamic slightly, because instead of us monopolizing the conversation, we at times have to include our spouses in it as well.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
is fine, because they're friends and they can talk to each other on one side of the table and we can talk to each other on one side of the table. And then it's like, wow, I flew so many miles to have another conversation with Brandon that I have every Monday anyway. So.
That's right.
But it was much more enjoyable in person. We should do it more often. Let's not wait every 3 years to hang out in person.
Let's not do it. Let's make it a habit. It's funny you mentioned it. You sent me a picture before you came out to California. You're like, that's weird, because three years to the day you were in California when we met up the last time.
Yeah, so we went to the inaugural Adult Swim Fest out in Los Angeles, and that was on October 7th of, I guess, 2018 it would have been. And and in like my iPhone memories, it likes to remind me of pictures and things from the past, and we were planning to meet on October 7th of this year, because I was going to Disneyland on the 6th, and then we're going to meet the next day. And so I randomly get this memory in my phone of you at the Adult Swim Fest with me on October 7th, 3 years ago. And I was like, that's really weird that to the day we were hanging out again. So yeah, here's to October 7th, 2024. and we just put it in your calendar now, the next time we hang out in person.
Doing it. It's right there in the reminders, along with the Earth, Wind, and Fire September reminder. It was really, really cool to hang out with you, Travis.
Sorry, we just got some late breaking news from one of our field reporters over in the sports department.
Have a good A-Face, just chiming in, letting us know that John Gruden, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, has resigned.
Oh.
Brandon, your initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts were, John Gruden, I thought he was on, I thought he was on the Bears. I don't know how shocked I am or how much I actually care, but I do know that a couple years back, people were excited for John Gruden to go to Raiders in the first place.
Because he's coached there before, I believe.
And I didn't think he was doing too bad. The Raiders aren't doing too bad this year, are they?
I think they have like a, what is it? A 3-2 start?
Okay. Yeah, maybe? not bad.
They lost to the Chargers last week. Every AFC West team except the Chargers lost this weekend.
Every team, as far as I'm concerned, is doing wonderfully compared to the Miami Dolphins. So realistically, they could be 2-3, and I'd be like, they're doing pretty good, right? they still won two games.
Yeah, apparently, thanks to the field reporter, have a good A-Face. He may be resigning due to the resurfacing of more emails and him being potentially racist.
I don't know how you could be a racist. Well, first, I'll stop there. I don't know how you could be a racist.
End of statement.
I especially don't understand how you could be a racist, like in such a diverse organization. Like it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense how you could be so bad a person at all.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah. There's a lot of head coach drama all around the league right now. But that's not really our subject matter. If you want to catch the ins and outs of sports, check out Rounding the Bases, another podcast in the Apathetic Enthusiasm family. Get all your hot takes from those base boys.
Do it. Go to Twitter at Rounding the B. Rounding the B. And just so we're clear, it had to be Rounding the B because that's the character limit. I couldn't put anything else. It was Rounding the B. Rounding the butthole. Anyway, so you went for your 20-year reunion, your high school reunion.
That's a
pretty big deal, pretty big milestone.
It was. We I think we were in Hawaii for my 10-year, where it didn't make sense to fly back to the mainland for people I'd seen just a decade earlier, right? And so I was like, it's been 20 years. And we're back stateside. Let's do it. Why not? Hey, let's go to California. Just me and the old wife. We'll leave the kids at home with her aunt and head out for a quick trip. It was cool. Cool seeing some folks. Pretty much all of my core friend group that I hung out with in high school did not make an appearance. So there were a lot of, hey, I somewhat remember you from high school. I think we interacted at some point in time. We probably had a class together. How you been? All right, cool. And then on to the next person. It was fun. It was on like a rooftop patio out in Belmont Park, where the Giant Dipper roller coaster is, out in Mission Beach, San Diego. Beautiful evening, balmy 68 degrees, under partly cloudy skies with winds out of the west.
it does sound nice for San Diego, because as we all know, San Diego is it's just terrible weather down there all the time normally.
We really lucked out, but no, that was fun. It was cool. Good trip. Got to see some other friends, a couple of our very close friends who just opted not to go to the reunion. So we just went and saw them for a little while as well. But yeah, it's a good trip. Good trip.
That's good.
Glad to be home. I'm taking another trip this weekend, shorter trip, up back to Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Look for me in Nebraska if you're going to be there, appearing one weekend only. I'll be at the Laugh Factory and in Poughkeepsie. And no,
what?
None of that's true.
Why do they call it Poughkeepsie? And then there's no joke. Why?
It's just a weird name.
I legitimately don't know the answer. 20-year reunion, my 20-year reunion would have been last year in 2020.
Why did you go?
During the pinnacle of election season.
That pandemic.
Yeah, that pandemic really put a pan stop to any 20-year reunion. But they talked about, originally it was going to be in like the summer, and then they're like, oh, we'll postpone it to the fall. Obviously, that didn't happen either. And then they talked about postponing it till this year. And in the last I heard, Chelsea was talking to our friend Celine, who I went to high school with. Chelsea did not go to high school with me. And you met Celine.
Yeah, she's got a great, she puts on a great wedding.
Yeah. 3 years ago, October 7th.
October 6th.
October 6th. That's right. That's right. good.
I still have the sunglasses somewhere.
Word on the street is we are going to have a smaller reunion for the people that the people like, kind of an elitist Christina Valley High School reunion. I think in December. So
join the rest of the high school cool kids at this year's exclusive reunion, just for people we liked.
Yeah. At my 10-year reunion, my core group of friends wasn't there. Matt, who's here in the chat, I don't remember where he was in Colorado. A lot of other folks didn't go. So Chelsea and I ended up hanging out with other people that I knew, right? I was a popular kid, but very, very shallowly. So I knew a lot of people, but everyone was like, Facebook. And we have Facebook now. Why do we need a reunion? And now 2020, 2021, there's still a lot of folks that are like, I don't really want to go anywhere. There are those experts that are like, I want to get out and I wanna do something like this. But then there's people like me and Chelsea who are like, not quite ready to be in big groups. Although I do have a Bad Religion concert at the end of November. So
gotta make it to that, because there's Bad Religion and then there's people that you have lost touch with over the last 20 years. So at my reunion, they actually invited the class of 2020 to attend our reunion as well. So it was a joint reunion, which was fine. Because then I could be like, oh, I don't recognize that person. Must have been an upperclassman, and then move on with my evening. It was a good night. I mean, it was outside, which helped kind of with some of the pandemic feelings about it. Although we did all get together for a good super spreader group photo. Not a ton of folks showed up. So, I don't know. All in all, good time. I did find out, though, on this trip, because I stopped and hung out with a friend of mine from high school, and it turns out that the like core group of people I hung out with, who we were all like nerds in our own special ways, but none of us were really like the D&D playing nerds like in high school like we are now, right?
Yeah.
And we were taught, me and my buddy were talking about gaming and stuff. You know him, Tyler. We played PUBG with him back in the day, right?
Yeah, Tyler. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, hey, what are you playing these days? And I told him a little bit about Satisfactory, which we covered in a previous episode. And I was like, actually, I started playing D&D with a group a couple years ago. None of us had really played, and we just kind of picked it up and started playing, and we're starting that up again this week. And he's like, you know what I started playing with? And then he lists off the names of like the people that I hung out with every day in high school. And he's like, these five people, we all just kind of started playing a game. And he's like, I've never played before. We made a character for me. I've only been playing for a couple months. And I was like, I would love to roll in that party. Like, you just tell me when. And so they play like once a month or so. So if I can balance it out right with our campaign that we just re-kicked off, that would be the reunion that I would love to attend. Even though he said like they stick pretty much to the game and they don't talk about their personal lives very much. So like
It took like 3 months for him to be like, oh, how's your wife that I've known for 20 years? Like, so, you know, it's pretty to the dice, so to speak.
Pretty to the dice. Yeah. That is cool. That is cool. Bringing together, people for Dungeons and Dragons. We just started, speaking of, you know, this Travis, because you played with me on Saturday.
Yeah, I was there.
For our listeners, we started up a new D&D campaign, this time DM'd by John Kaufelt, and you know,
the man, the myth, the legend.
I don't know if you watched the finale to What If, but in some ways
I need to catch up.
In some ways I'm like the Watcher, and that I bring together all these random people from my life that I've been watching and keeping an eye on to bring them together to play Dungeons and Dragons. So I got Brett Cruz, my younger brother. I got Brian Cassone, a Microsoft friend of mine. John Kaufelt, obviously, you.
Mutual friend.
And we're here. We're here. Yeah.
Here we John. Are.
And it's fun. It's so good to be back. John set up this campaign. Since we stopped playing, he has two other campaigns with two other groups of individuals. I don't know if they're friends or coworkers or what. But so he's gotten plenty of practice. He set up this campaign for us where we're at a Goblin Community College adventuring school. And we're just setting the stage. We're all there day one, going off on our adventures. It was fun. What'd you think of the initial setup of it?
I think the premise is really fantastic because we're all starting first level, so we're all new to this school, starting out fresh. He's creating an episodic sort of nature to it so that each time I think it's going to feel fresh, and every time we come back, excuse me, we're playing every couple of weeks, so instead of feeling like, oh, where did we leave off, what cave were we in, things like that, I think he's really trying to build it so that we can begin and end our days in the dormitories and just go through this community college environment, going sort of like skipping through classes maybe a little bit, but still utilizing the class elements to help build our characters, and then going on these field trips as a group to go on adventures and things like that. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I think it's a really creative way to put a spin on a traditional D&D campaign.
Yeah, I dig it. He's foregoing the standard experience points for leveling up, going off of the milestone system.
Yeah.
So the first couple sessions will probably level up. And then, you know, I'm looking to level three when you get that specialization. When the classes start to feel different a little bit more than they do at level one, it's gonna be fun. I'm trying to play it mostly serious. I'm not trying to like joke too much and like draw things out. It's inevitable.
But with
sometimes
our group, it's really hard not to, yeah. Right? And with a campaign loosely based off the show Community, like, and with a DM that's naming all of his little flying cat people yeah. after TV news anchors, like
Sammy, Katie Couric,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Willie Dan Rathers or whatever his name was. Yeah, like, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun group. And yeah, I'm excited to continue to play in that a little bit more. Playing a warlock for this first time. Never really used a warlock. So that's interesting. Apparently, I can like change out my spells every time I level, which is fun. That's new. That's neat. So
yeah, that gets handy when you start a new campaign with a spellcaster and you're not really sure what the strengths of the other people's characters are yet.
Yeah,
and then eventually you're like, you know what? Okay, I don't need this because they have this, or I don't need this because we need some kind of utility. You know, that type of stuff. Yeah. Being able to change it out is good.
And as you develop as a warlock, you get these
I think they're called like Eldritch Invocations or something like that, which is separate from your spell book, but there are still like things you can cast and use like that. So as you unlock those things, if you have a spell that does sort of the same thing, it kind of feels redundant. So having the ability to kind of switch off of that and, you know, creates more variety. Seems like a cool feature.
I
hope to explore.
I'm in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. They have a couple different new classes in there. I was really interested in the Artificer, which is all about like kind of like the steampunk type of character. At third level you can pick a specialization. There's like alchemy, there's weaponsmith, and there's armorsmith. And that's the one I want to use, because essentially like at third level I can start making my own armor.
Like, oh, that's cool.
So like in a way I'm like Colossus.
Okay, that's awesome. I dig it.
Yeah.
You're gonna turn from this like wimpy little guy to like our tank. Fancy. I like it.
Fancy red. I'm Batman.
Anyway,
I just watched that episode.
Lots more to happen in that. We'll give you updates as they happen in the campaign. I've made the decision not to record this campaign so that it can be just more fun for us to play and less like content that we have to develop. So.
Yeah. Right on. Plus, we didn't ask John ahead of time if we could. So
yeah, that's fair. Quality point. Anyway, moving on. It is spooky season. We are well into a third of the way through the month of October. Halloween is right around the corner. Go get your costumes before they are out of stock at Spirit Halloween, because you know, they're shipping delays. They're crazy scary. $1,000 for 100 retweets or whatever it is.
That's right. They got ghouls. Get out there.
Got skeletons.
How many times you've been to Spirit Halloween this season?
It's either two or three times.
All right. Hey, are you? We might be tied. Yeah.
I think it's just two times.
Okay. All right. Then I'm one up on you.
I'm going tomorrow then.
No. Well, I'm going online. That counts. I don't know if it counts. It shouldn't count. But the coupon says it counts.
Oh, okay.
10% off.
There you go.
Donate
to children's things. What are you doing to celebrate this spooky season? I know you love watching some scary movies. Any new films of fright that have tickled your fancy?
Films of fright. I've watched a couple things recently. There was another Joe Bob marathon this last Friday. One of the movies was a serial killer movie, not really horror, but it's called Angel. And it takes place in Hollywood in the 80s, where a 14-year-old prostitute is trying to make her way. She's spending her money to go to a fancy private school, and then there's a killer on the loose preying on the prostitutes, and eventually she goes after it. Pretty good. It's pretty good, I'll admit. Before that though, last week while you were in here in San Diego and visiting me,
while I was in here,
we took our son to the grandparents' house, and we just had a couple days to ourselves. And we did what any normal adult couple would do without kids.
Consenting adult couple with no children in the house.
We binge watch Netflix. And there's a show out there written and directed by Mike Flanagan, who Haunting of Hill House and Haunting of Bly Manor, also Dr. Sleep. He's done a bunch of other stuff. Hush, a horror film called Hush. He came out with a new Netflix limited series, which was Midnight Mass. And it was it's only 7 episodes. It's all about this island where a Catholic priest goes away, a young Catholic priest comes in, takes his place, and some spooky goings on start to happen here on this island.
Is that the one where they play Red Light, Green Light?
No, that is a octopus game.
Squid Garm.
It was a good series. The only downside, if anybody is out there and interested in it, the only critique I have of it really is that there's a couple of episodes where there are monologues between characters, two random characters. It doesn't matter because these monologues happen a lot. But they seem to go on a little bit too long. Like they could have pared down the monologue just a bit, made it more concise, and it would have been fantastic. But in like episode 3, they had some good conversations about faith, faith versus kind of ration. I say ration, that like Catholic religion versus like atheism, for okay. example. And it's a good conversation. It went long,
like man of science versus man of faith type.
Yeah. In the episode 4, there's a man and a woman, and they're talking about their ideas about what happens when you die. And one person believes in heaven, the other person believes that, you know, in the science way. That monologue,
the science way is dirt.
Dirt, yeah. Molecules, atoms, all that stuff. But it goes on way too long. So long. We're like, I don't know if I want to keep going, but I still want to see what happens the rest of the
season. Did you say there were like monologues, or are these just like series, like sessions of dialogue where they're just kind of having long conversations?
I say monologues because it's similar to how we're doing it now, where I talk for like 5 to 10 minutes straight without any interruption from you, and then I pass it to you.
I don't say anything at all during the period where you're talking.
And then then I hand it back to you, and then you go off for 5 to 10 minutes by yourself. And there's no, it's not a dialogue. There's no back and forth. It's one person talking, and then the other person talking for extended
time. Interesting.
Anyways.
All right.
Is there a lot of
blood in it?
There's not a whole lot of blood in it. No.
All right.
It's pretty good. I like it. I do recommend it. It's not super scary. So it's not something Sheena would be like, oh no, I hate Brandon. Chelsea. Oh,
no, that's for different reasons. Are you still foregoing the Squid Garm? Are you not watching Squid Game?
Chelsea watched it all already. I saw some spoilers, and I'm like, okay, I don't need to watch this whole thing.
All right.
I'm good. Right. I'm good.
I still haven't caught up. I finally caught up on Ted Lasso. So now I can focus on Squid Game, get that all done, and then probably watch What If by myself. I'm like way behind on that one.
I probably won't watch Squid Game because I have to catch up on Community, so I understand any references thrown in this D&D campaign.
There you go. Perfect.
Speaking of spooky, we actually have something in common other than our brunch in San Diego, in Anaheim. It is Muppet's Haunted Mansion, which we both watched today in preparation for this. Or because we wanted to.
Both things being true. And this is, you know, I appreciate Disney Plus releasing this film. It's about 50 minutes long. It's like a one episode series of television. It is a Muppet special about the Haunted Mansion, which is a classic Disney attraction in some way, shape, or form through pretty much all of their theme parks. And I thought that this was a really cool idea, especially because the Haunted Mansion movie that they produced, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago with Eddie Murphy was so bad that they needed a win. The Haunted Mansion needed a win. Haunted Mansion, a beloved attraction. So I had high hopes because the Muppets are great. The Haunted Mansion is great. What were your initial thoughts on this, 50-minute spectacular?
50-minute, yeah. I never saw the Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion.
It's good. It's a good call.
I probably won't go watch it. What was bad about it? That's my first question.
Now I have not watched it in a very long time, but I just remember, I think the premise being very, I don't know. It was very separate from the actual like Haunted Mansion of the parks. I think it was a nod to the Haunted Mansion without being Haunted Mansion-y enough, maybe. To where it was just a kind of spooky, not really spooky, but Eddie Murphy comedy where he has to spend the night in like a creepy house or something, right? So I honestly don't remember why it was so bad. I think it just was poorly produced or directed or whatever.
Okay.
It may have been trying to play off the popularity of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, which
yeah.
I will say the first Pirates of the Caribbean, even though it was not like a direct like shot for shot like references to the in-park attractions, was a good movie that had good nods to the attraction throughout. And now the worlds have crossed over and the ride in the parks like has stuff from the movies in it. So it's kind of this blurring of the two things. I just don't think that was as much of the case with Eddie Murphy's
okay. movie. All right. Yeah. I'll just say this about Pirates of the Caribbean. It had like nothing to do with this Disney ride at all, other than it was pirates. They were in the Caribbean.
Yeah, but if you look, the connections are there. Like there's, yeah,
it's hard not to
undead pirates, which is like a thing in Pirates of the Caribbean.
There's people trying to get the dog to give them the keys. Like I know the nods are there, but it doesn't feel like the ride. They're like two different things. It's like. It's like if Master and Commander had some of those scenes as well. You're like, it's essentially a Pirates of the Caribbean the ride movie.
Yeah, well, they've done a good job of crossing them over now because most of the characters throughout the ride are like Barbossa and Jack Sparrow and that kind of stuff too. So
yeah,
while still maintaining the original sort of spirit of the ride with a lot less of the rapiness.
The part we keep it real real accurate.
We don't whitewash the pirates in this one. Keep it real rapey. Pirates of the Pancreas, underrated right. attraction.
Well, now to answer your original question, instead of asking you a follow-on question that has nothing to do with your question, Muppet Haunted Mansion, I didn't know what to expect from it. I kind of had the Eddie Murphy thing in the back of my head of like, oh, ooh, okay. Muppets, they're trying to pull Muppets into it and they're gonna I honestly didn't have any expectations one way or the other about it, and so you said you're gonna watch it. I found that I had time during dinner to watch it. It wasn't an hour and a half like we thought it was originally. Yeah. Like oh, okay, all right, yeah, cool, I'll go ahead and check it out. We're gonna either watch Ted Lasso or Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, and so we figured. Actually, the kid was like, well, let's watch some Muppets. I'm like, okay. And it jumped out to me like right away that it was dedicated to the ride. Like yeah. It is an extended bit about the ride itself with so much in there, nodding to all the different aspects of the ride. You sent me the text in Messenger just saying how accurate it was to the ride, and yeah, no, spot on. The songs, like all the major points that you can go get out of the Haunted Mansion ride, like the nostalgia is going to hit you in the face. But it's also, it doesn't feel heavy-handed, because the whole concept is that you're in the, they're experiencing the ride. So it's not like,
yeah,
it's not a heavy-handed reference kind of shoehorned in. Go ahead.
They did a good job of honoring the original attraction without making it feel forced. And like, it doesn't feel like Gonzo is riding in a doom buggy through a theme park attraction, but there are so many details within the movie that if you are a fan of the attraction, you immediately be like, oh, there's that thing. Oh, there's that. Oh, look, they even use the floating candlestick going down the hallway in such a way, like just sight gags and or special effects that aren't necessarily even called out in the attraction were incorporated into aspects of this movie. And so I thought that with a Muppets twist, they were able to capture the feeling of the original attraction while still telling and a somewhat interesting story about Gonzo having to spend the night in this creepy house.
Yeah. Yeah. For those listening, Will Arnett is in the movie as the host, essentially
ghost host.
what this movie is, what this short film is Gonzo and Pepe the Prawn. They go to the Haunted Mansion to see the ghost of the Great MacGuffin, who evidently only shows up every 100 years. He disappeared 100 years ago. And so Gonzo goes there, gets an invite, and once he gets there, it says Will Arnett, as the host, says he has to stay the night, the entire night. And from that point on, it feels like the best of the ride, like the expanding elevator.
Yes, the stretching room. And they, of course, they do a Muppets twist on all of the stretching room paintings.
Yeah.
Even just like parts of the ride, like queue where you, before you get on your doom buggies, where like the different paintings and things like that, they've done Muppet versions of those, the busts that follow you around are Benson Honeydew and Beaker and like just lots of cool little ways of twisting those features of the ride in such a Muppets way. I think they covered in some way, shape, or form pretty much all of the major aspects of the attraction, considering I was there like less than a week ago. I was like, wow, this is all really fresh. Like, yeah, no, I remember a lot of this. This is all, I mean, even just to the design of like the doors and different parts of the house, that was like, yeah, that's what it looks like on the ride. That's really well done.
Overall, we talked about like Muppets Now, the first couple episodes that we really liked, and it kind of trailed off. I think this is one of, maybe I say this every time a new Muppets thing comes out, but like this is a good Muppets thing. It was a good blend of Disney come swooping in, be like, we're Disney, we own you. and the Muppets being like, we're still Muppets.
We're fine with it.
We're getting paid. We're actually just performers. Even on the IMDb, it's the Muppets, like Kermit and Piggy, they all play different roles within the Haunted Mansion, but they're not playing Kermit and Piggy. They're playing other characters. And so in the IMDb, it shows like that Kermit is playing a different character. It says Kermit the Frog as something, something. Fozzie Bear as
the Hatbox Ghost.
Which
is such a cool effect to have back in the actual attraction, by the way. Can I say that? Because it was gone for so long. Are you familiar with the Hatbox Ghost and in the history?
No, maybe I'm not.
So there's this, there's a special effects, an animatronic that was originally intended in the Haunted Mansion. And it's this guy
who's standing there, and he's got a hat box in his hand. It's like open on the front. And as you pass by this character, his head disappears, and then his head appears in the hat box, right? So he's this ghost, and his head disappears, and then his head appears in the box. But unfortunately, like, due to the technology of the, like, late 60s, 70s, they were never really able to make the effect very convincing. They would use that Pepper's ghost effect like they do with the ghost flying around in the ballroom and all that stuff. And they could never, you could always still kind of see the head, like, on top of his shoulders. So yeah. Eventually they just took it out. They're like, it's not effective. It doesn't really work. They got rid of it. Well, technology changes, you know, everything advances, and he is back in the ride now. And it is a very cool and convincing effect. As you pass by him, it's like right before you exit, like the bride's area up in the attic.
Okay.
Towards
the end of the ride, right?
Yeah. Before you go outside, to the graveyard scene, before the hitchhiking ghosts.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, I was like, I was so excited. I was like, hey, here he is. Yeah. Like, I was so excited for that part of the ride.
That's so cool, man. Yeah. Did they take the hat box ghost out a long time ago?
Yeah. Like, okay. Probably like
before either of us were even aware that it existed,
or when we were kids and had any reference to like know whether or not it was gone.
Okay.
But I'll just pull it off the wall here. So I have this. Well, no, I think I stuck it on there with command strip, so I'm not going to take it off the wall. But I have, there's an artist that we've seen at different conventions and things like that. His first name's Abe. I'm sorry, I forget his last name. I'll look it up on Instagram and tell you all later. But he did a version of the stretching room paintings, but as Batman characters. So it's like Harley Quinn up on top of the tightrope, and then it's like the Joker standing on TNT in his boxers and things like that. But he did a sketch on the back of the print, and it's of the Hatbox Ghost, which unfortunately it's framed, so I don't get to see that sketch very often. But that's what he drew on the back of that one. Anyway, that's me nerding out about. I mean, we could just divulge this into my entire trip to Disneyland at this point. But
I remember you getting that picture. Actually, it was an amazing Hawaii Comic Con.
That's right. That's right.
Back in the day, Jimmy J. He's out here in L.A. I should go say hi to him.
You guys should link up. You should start being part of the amazing family. And start doing. Doing panels for them and hitting the road.
Will do. Vegas is only a hop, skip, and a jump away, but not with Jay Gruden. Oh no, he's resigning.
Oh no, oh no. gotta be careful with those emails, Jay.
Yeah.
All right, John Gruden.
John.
Overall, to put a bow on it, I think the Muppets Haunted Mansion is a good, like family friendly Halloween movie. I think. Especially the differences between you and I, my family doesn't watch quite as many scary movies. So we're pretty much stuck with like Charlie Brown's The Great Pumpkin and Nightmare Before Christmas as sort of like the Hocus Pocus has entered the equation. But we were watching a lot of those like more childish Halloween movies in this household. Muppets Haunted Mansion, I think is a good, addition to that collection, but hopefully I could start up in the ante a little bit in the house.
I will say this about Muppet Haunted Mansion: there is a part in the movie that makes people jump.
Yeah, no, I jumped.
Okay,
I jumped. I thought it was good. I thought that was a solid little moment there.
Yeah, so. We're eating dinner. Chelsea jumped. My kid. Like, and then I was like, how did the Muppets scare me?
I was literally the only one in my house at the time paying attention to the screen. So not only was I the only one that jumped, but I was the only one like that saw that I jumped. So,
oh, yeah,
it all worked out. But
fair.
Anyway, yeah, check it out. If you have a Disney Plus subscription, add it to your spooky season celebration. Visited Disneyland this last week, as I mentioned. way more crowded than I expected. I thought I had some reliable crowd tracking websites to go off of, but apparently there were like three counties in Southern California that all had fall break that week.
Oh.
And so a bunch of people decided to attend Walt's Park. But I did get a chance to visit several attractions that I had eagerly been looking forward to. One, of course, being Rise of the Resistance, which I think we've talked about probably on this podcast. Mm-hmm. You got to ride it out in Florida. I finally got the boarding pass and got to go on it. Just a phenomenal feat of Imagineering that they're able to combine all of those elements together. I thought it was great. And then I also got to ride the new Web Slingers ride at the Avengers campus in Disney California Adventure. Also a lot of fun if you've ridden like the Toy Story Mania ride in a Disney theme park. It's the same premise, except you just throw your arms in front of you and it launches webs. Highly recommend actually wearing the 3D glasses on that ride, because Sheena rode the entire ride with his 3D glasses on top of her head and then wondered why it was so blurry. Got a good laugh out of that. So, and then Mission Breakout, the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, where they got rid of Tower of Terror in California, RIP. I actually rode the Monsters After Dark version, which is not the core storyline. It takes place immediately after the story of the original ride. But apparently when they release the Guardians and everything else, Groot gets lost. And so you have to go and help Rocket find Groot. But now there's all these monsters that have been set loose as well in the collector's collection. So as you're bouncing up and down through this elevator shaft, there's these big monsters that can jump out as well too. So kind of fun, kind of cool. It's supposed to be the scary version. I didn't really feel like it was scary at all, but maybe that was just the monster that we got. So
maybe you just don't have the magic of childhood anymore.
This is true.
You can only get scared by Muppets.
Muppets and religious theology. Those are the only things that really chill me to the bone anymore.
That's great.
But fun time out there. Already looking forward to a trip with the whole family. I don't know, maybe next year for Disney World's 50th celebration, which lasts 18 months.
18 months. And
a birthday celebration can somehow last more than a year.
I don't.
When Disney owns it, who am I to question?
It's probably a Gregorian calendar. That's the only thing I can think.
Well, yeah, that's got to be it.
Isn't that the normal calendar? I would love, I'm back in here in LA. I would love to go to Universal Horror Nights, whatever. I would love to go
Hollywood Horror Nights, I think they're called there.
Hollywood Horror Nights. I'd love to go to Not Scary Farm, but damn it, so many people.
yeah, that's a thing.
I really want to, but I'm just not ready for it yet. Just not ready for it.
Once I get
my kid vaccinated, okay, then I'm like, all right, then I'm solid, I think. But until I can get him.
I will say Disney did a good job of, for the most part, trying to enforce like mask wearing indoors. Disneyland is not part of Los Angeles County,
right?
So they do not require vaccinations for entry. But I believe that's going to be a thing at Universal. So like that, maybe that would help you out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Cause I know Los Angeles County is requiring that for most major entertainment venues. So
yeah, I'll have to look into that. And then maybe,
and if you hate that idea, send us an email at apathetic@gmail.com. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll look it up right now. That'll be the subject for the next next week's episode.
Well, and speaking of next episodes, right? So this, if you're paying attention, is episode 196, of Apathetic Enthusiasm. That's right. Over the course of 5.5, nearly 6 years, we have produced almost 200 episodes of content, sprinkled in with a few, I don't know, Rick and Morty podcasts or Twilight Zone podcasts or Rounding the Bees. all of those things not included in that count. But for this show particularly, we are coming up on that milestone of 200 episodes. So if you have something that you'd like to hear, if you have any thoughts of ways that we could celebrate episode 200, I'd love to hear from you. You could send us a tweet at Apathusiast, you know, hit us up, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Any way you like, put a comment down below if you're watching on YouTube, and we'll figure out some way to celebrate, do something special, probably right around like Thanksgiving, Christmas time is when that'll end up happening. So, yeah. Right in that holiday season. But thanks to those of you that continue to listen to this on a regular basis, that download, subscribe, and share with your friends. We really do appreciate it.
We really, really do. I'll start planning. I'll try to start getting some audio from longtime folks that have been associated with the show to just a little howdy do.
A little howdy do.
So we do have some questions from the Twitch chat here. Before we leave, we do have to answer these because we said we would. They're all from Matt. Is he elitist? He said, "You have wives?" He asked. You have Andre Agassi on the show tonight. You down? ? Let's see. If only you had a website where you sold merchandise. Okay, that's it from back then. We do have wives. It was Andre Agassi Christie. Okay, but Matt asks this because for my campaign, I wanted to pull him in. I wanted him to try D&D, and so I had him create a character, and it was a giant.
Did he play a session?
He did not. No, but his character was included in one of the sessions because
that's right.
I wasn't going to be able to convince him to play one because he had a child and he got a new roommate in, and so my availability hanging out with him got significantly lower, Matt. But I still included that character inside the campaign itself. And so he asked, hey, can I, when are you gonna bring back my goddamn character, which I'm not DMing anymore, which means I'm not creating the campaign. I'm not creating the story, and I don't get to choose what characters go in and what characters don't anymore. I'm just playing one person, and that's all the power I have.
Although John did say that we can create NPCs so long as they don't like break the game or something.
Okay, so with that in mind, then Matt, you can create another character that I know of that my character knows of, and then someday if you have some free time and you learn how to play D&D, then you can join we play on Saturdays, every other Saturday.
I mean, you could pick up this book right here. This is the Player's Handbook, Wizards of the Coast, not a sponsor of this podcast. But this is I mean, this is thick. This is textbook reading right here, right?
Thick.
So you could do that, or you could just get the basic rules. You could just you could grab your starter set, which is right back here, or go online and just download the basic rules for D&D, and it will give you a very introductory familiarization with sort of the way to play the game and the basic concepts, and then you can kind of continue to learn from there if you so choose.
If you so choose. His question is, how hard could it possibly be to learn D&D? In some ways, it's like Othello, a minute to learn, a lifetime to master. There's so much stuff in D&D that you have to learn, depending on your character, the class of your character, creating your character, how to play your character. And there's also styles of playing. Do you want to adventure? Do you like combat? Do you want to role play? Do you like all of those at the same time? Is there one thing that you don't like? That's an aspect of it. Depending on the class, going back to that, you can have a spellcaster or you can have a barbarian. the mechanics of both of those characters are very, very different. So you have to learn the individual systems within the class structure. Is it hard?
I feel like if you want to play, you can kind of learn how a character sheet works. You can learn one type of character, something basic, learn the basic rules of that character and start playing. You don't have to like know the difference between a sorcerer and wizard's spell books. Like you don't need to understand, you know, all aspects of, you know, D&D to start playing. But just like any set of tools, you are limited by how well you know the tool set. If you only know how to use a hammer and a screwdriver, you can only be so effective. If you know how to use an entire workshop's worth of tools, then you can be a lot more creative.
Yeah, so, and make a bench.
Benches.
How many licks, Travis, does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? Don't answer that. I'll tell you. It's three.
Yeah, three. One, two, three.
Girl. Do you have any great poupon?
Yeah. I don't. I have French's Dijon mustard.
Okay. Yeah. What school subjects are you both most excited to help your kids with? Chess. the things that aren't boring to me.
I mean, my oldest kid has not asked me for really any help with homework. I think they're in U.S. history now, so I like that subject. Yeah.
All right. I would say art, music, history. I like history for the most part. Creative writing, you know, all those liberal arts things. I'm okay at, pretty decent at just those things. Okay, when are you both moving to Idaho? Never. Cool. That's it. Thanks, Matt.
Yep. Not happening.
Not happening.
Although I hear their morning news is fantastic.
KIVI, rounding the B.
All right, I think that's gonna do it from the Q&A portion. If you're watching live on Twitch, please don't go anywhere because we'll stick around for a brief post show just for those of you watching at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. If you want to be part of the post show or this show at any given time, you can join us on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern for that's typically when we go live for any of our podcasts. So check it out. And I think that will about do it for this episode, unless you have any other closing thoughts, Brandon, that you want to share with the people.
The only closing thought I have, Travis, is thank you for being my friend back to San Diego and OKC again. Sorry. And to everybody else, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.